Can you communicate with the dead? Have you ever wondered about the spirit world? Books, movies, TV shows, video games, even toys and fast food meals are ways that the spirit world is marketed. Even children can't seem to get enough of the world of witchcraft, sorcery, and spirits. Casting spells, calling on powers can seem to be exciting. It's just fantasy, isn't it? Are we alone in the universe, or is our fascination with spirits, sorcery, and witchcraft evidence of reality? Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we discuss, is the spirit world real?
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
The spirit world. Some turn to religion to find it. Others turn away from religion to explore the answers to their spiritual needs. The popularity of astrology, consulting the dead, mystical Eastern religions, or the New Age movement all show a growing trend in society away from the God of the Bible as the source for spiritual knowledge. But is the spirit world real or just a fantasy? To discuss this today, I've invited two guests to join me, Gary Black, a church pastor with the United Church of God, and Scott Ashley, managing editor of the Good News magazine. Welcome, Gary and Scott.
Yes, thank you.
Here we're going to talk about the spirit world today. And most people would probably automatically turn to science to tell us the answers. And yet, is it true? Can science give us the answers when it comes to the spirit world?
Science really isn't much help in understanding the spirit world for several reasons. One of the primary reasons is science itself is based on the evolutionary process. Science generally believes that we physical human beings inhabit a physical world and was just the end result of a long, strictly physical process. And consequently, they more or less reject the idea of any spirit world out there. Another aspect of that problem is that science is concerned with things that you can measure, physically measure, weigh, feel, this sort of thing. And because the spirit world is what you might call a different dimension, a spirit dimension, where that doesn't apply. The spirit world is something that science can't measure, can't weigh, can't feel. It's not something that we can detect with our human senses.
It's not matter. Science
it's not matter.
Deal with matter and atoms.
Right.
And
it's a totally different aspect that we're talking about there. To give an analogy with our human senses, we see, for instance, with our eyes only a tiny fraction of the visible spectrum of light. We don't see the ultraviolet, the infrared ranges, and with our ears, we only hear certain frequencies. We don't hear ultra-low and ultra-high frequencies. And but because we don't hear them, don't sense them, it doesn't mean they're not there. It's just that we cannot detect them. And the same is true with science when it comes to science in the spirit world. We just simply cannot detect those. So science, unfortunately, is not much help. We think we are in a very enlightened intellectual age, and we are to an extent, but the sad fact is a lot of people are very ignorant, very unaware that there is a spirit world.
And as you said, it's a different dimension.
Yes.
It brings us to a different place than a physical universe, mm-hmm. Just by the nature of what a spirit is. In fact, maybe that's what we ought to do for a moment, is just step back and define what are we talking about when we talk about spirit. If it's something that science can't define and they can't identify, what exactly are we talking about when you talk about spirits?
Well, see, the spirit world is considered in the dictionary definition as the supernatural world, supernatural essence or being. It is something beyond our senses, as Scott was saying. In fact, if you look at the ancients, the words they used to describe spirit, even in Scripture, you find that the word, it means wind. If you think about that, we can't see the wind, but we can see the trees moving, the leaves blowing, we can feel it. It's something that the ancients recognized was there, it was real, but they simply couldn't visually see it. And so I think it's an apt word, spirit meaning coming from the word wind. And obviously we tend, as Scott said, to want to focus on what we can see. We can't see spirit. We can't put it under a microscope. We can't look out into space in a telescope and say, oh, there's God out there. It's simply we can't see the angelic realm. The spirit world is simply invisible to us. It's another dimension.
Yeah, and I suppose you say when you look at the term supernatural, probably a pretty fitting term because it's not natural, it's not physical, it's something beyond that. And so the spirit realm has to be defined a little bit differently than what scientific terms can come up with when it's something just like that. It's beyond the physical in that sense. And so when you begin to think about that, where do we turn? Okay, science doesn't have the answer. What about religion? It seems like religion can be all over the place. And so where do you really look? And how reliable is religion when it comes to identifying the spirit realm?
Well, unfortunately, most religion isn't much help at all because it's actually a tremendous source of misinformation about the spirit world. For instance, you get into the Eastern religions and you find some information about the spirit world, but a lot of it is contradictory. It's confusing more than anything. It just tends to cloud the issue. You get into other religions like Islam, for instance, has some information about the spirit world, but a lot of it is, some of it's adapted from the Bible, some of it is borrowed from other religions, a lot of it is just adapted from old pagan religions before that. So really there is only one credible source that presents us with information about the spirit world in a way that is logical, that is consistent, that makes sense, and that is consistent with human experience and with history for that matter. And that one source is the Bible. It is the one authoritative source we can look to for information about the spirit world.
Well, it's no wonder people's ideas are all over the board when you have so many different ways that we identify with the spirit world. When you look at Islam, or you look at Catholicism, or you look at any religion, and they present it a certain way, and we come outside of the true source. And so if we need to be reliable, we want to get to the actual facts of the matter when it comes to the spirit world, can we really turn anywhere other than the Bible for the source?
No, we really can't, because God is the one who created everything we see. He created the physical universe. God also created the spirit realm, the angelic realm. He created that. And we know that the spiritual realm was created before the physical, in that we see that the angels sang for joy when the earth was created.
And so they were already there then.
They were already there. That's right. We know that. And God created both. And so we really have to look to God. If we don't, it's our own imaginations or some theory or some tradition that's been passed down. The Bible's the only source we can turn to. And what we find in Scripture is a consistency with regard to the spirit world. From the beginning to the end, we find what's amazing, over the course of 1,400 some odd years, 40 plus writers in the Bible, we find a consistency, showing therefore the inspiration of God. And we see that the Bible reveals there are spirit beings. There are beings that are real, that are around us, around the universe, and they do exist.
So we're not the only intelligent beings in the universe, if you want to put it in those terms. The Bible's pretty plain about that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's correct, yes.
And so when you look at what the Bible says, it's very plain. God created a spirit realm. There is a spirit realm. We're not the only intelligent life. And that there is, if you want to call it a different dimension, you want to call it a different realm, there is a spirit realm that is in the universe, if you want to put it in those terms, wouldn't you say?
And it's natural that we as humans would want to try to have some kind of communication with those that are in that realm, thinking they're more intelligent, they know more, they can give us guidance. And that's where we have to be careful, because within that spirit realm, we also find in Scripture there's a positive, good side, and there's also an evil, negative side. And we have to be very careful where we pursue.
Mm-hmm. That raises an interesting question. What about the spirit realm? What about the good side? And what about the dark side? Do you wonder about that? You need a booklet that we produced. It's called, Is There Really a Devil? You probably wondered that yourself. Is it a made-up fictional story? Or is the devil real? You need to know the answers. Order this free booklet. Go online, beyondtoday.tv. You can read it right now. You need to understand. Is this fact or fiction? Get the booklet. Go online. Read it now. Don't be left out. We'll be back with more right after this.
If you were the devil bent on killing the human race, you'd try to probably convince the world you don't even exist. That addictions, violence, and hate are normal human impulses, when really your power influences people to destroy themselves. Understand why the world can't get beyond arrogance, anger, and greed in your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv to see the supernatural source of conflicts and tragedies. Answer the big questions about good and evil in the world. Is the existence of the devil just a big joke found in the Bible, or the absolute fact you can't read about anywhere else? Make sense of our world by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil?
Can you answer the question? Is there really a devil? Some people just put it off and say it's a big joke. Couldn't possibly be real. But what about the spirit realm? You need to know the answer. It seems that we as human beings, we struggle with an inner need for a spiritual aspect in life. No wonder we search for the answers to why we're here. Are we the only ones in the universe? Is there life after death? Or can we communicate with the dead? What about ghosts? Are there such things as ghosts? Boy, do we ever want to understand the spiritual world. We like the paranormal, the supernatural. And it's no wonder that science fiction and television and movies regarding all of these things have had such phenomenal success. But do you know the truth about it? Do you understand the truth of what the Bible really says about the spirit realm? Now, a lot of times people will say, well, we enjoy all of these things because, you know, it's just fantasy. It's just entertainment. And yet, is that reality, Scott? Is that all it is? It's just entertainment?
Well, a lot of people would like to believe that, but unfortunately, that's not the case. A lot of people take it very seriously. The spirit world is very, very real, as the Bible reveals to us, and it's something that we all need to be informed about and learn about, realize what is really going on there, what's good, what's bad about it. There are actually many practitioners of witchcraft, actually numbering in the hundreds of thousands. There are actually, it's hard to believe, but there are actually more of them practitioners of witchcraft, and there are in a lot of Christian denominations, churches there.
So we're not talking about Bible followers. We're talking,
right.
talking about others, just to make it very,
yes.
very clear.
Yes, people who totally reject the Bible and believe in what's popularly called Wicca. That's probably the greatest part of the witchcraft movement, the term Wicca. And the Wiccans, basically one way to describe it would be it's basically a recycling of the old European beliefs in gods and goddesses of nature and so on. And although their beliefs will vary from different groups and different individuals, generally they believe that there are spirits in nature, that there's an energy flowing throughout anything and everything in nature, that there are various gods and goddesses and spirits who inhabit every aspect of the world around us. And they do take this very, very seriously. To give a quote here, there's the book The Witch's Bible, in which a well-known witch couple state, quote, "The rationale of Wicca is a philosophical framework into which every phenomenon, from chemistry to clairvoyance, from logarithms to love, can be reasonably fitted. So to them, it is very much a religious belief system based on these spirits and energies and so on." Mm-hmm. And these Wiccans or witches also believe in accessing and manipulating these different spirits that they believe in.
So they feel very, very connected to a spirit realm.
Very connected to it, yes. Again, they believe it's flowing through them, and they try to manipulate or utilize and access these different spirits through magic and spells and that sort of thing. As a matter of fact, their definition of magic in this book, A Witch's Bible, they define magic as the art of changing consciousness and physical reality according to will, manipulating the human imagination to achieve physical, psychological, or spiritual results. So they take it very seriously and believe they can access and manipulate these spirits and energies and forces and so on.
So in that aspect, many do not just consider it entertainment. They take it very seriously.
Right, very seriously.
And it's everything to them. Mm-hmm. when you look at that, this manipulation of spirits. Mm-hmm. I suppose most people might associate that with the occult. Mm-hmm. When you really look at what the occult involved. So it's right. not just a simple entertainment, mm-hmm. and yet here you have a religion that's based on this manipulation of spirits,
right.
and yet the God of the Bible, the true God, must think something totally different of the occult.
Well, we do find that in Scripture. We find that throughout history, ancient religions, modern religions, there have been those who have practiced certain rituals in order to try to make contact with pagan gods or demons or spirits, the dead, that type of thing. And they usually want to do so in order to find some kind of blessing or find some kind of guidance. Should they go to war? Will they be victorious? Asking for blessing on their crops, that kind of thing. And generally seeking the dark side or seeking something other than the true God. And in the Scripture, God plainly deals with the occult and involvement with witchcraft and sorcery. In the Old Testament, as he wrote to the nation of Israel, various laws, he made it very clear that they were not to have anything to do with witchcraft or sorcery. They were not to go to those who sought to make contact with the dead. They were not to practice that in any way. In fact, those who did were cut out from the nation of Israel. They were cut off from God, and the law actually said they could be put to death. Now, that's how seriously God considered that. And that was in the Old Testament. We can come all the way into the New Testament time, the age of the church, and we see that the same teaching was taught. The Apostle Paul went into the town of Ephesus, and he taught those same laws. And what we find in Acts 19 is many of the people brought their books about witchcraft together, and they put them in a pile and burned them. And it says there was something like 50,000 shekels of silver, 50,000 pieces of silver worth of books that were burned about witchcraft. Very prevalent in Ephesus. And we see that Paul dealt with that, and they actually turned from that, repented, and burned their books. And so
the Bible is very consistent.
It is consistent.
When it condemns that type of spiritualism, it just plainly says it throughout the entire Bible that it's just wrong. We've got to stay away from it. It's not entertainment. In fact, it reminded me of a story I heard about Harry Houdini, who just really opposed this whole concept of spiritualism and seances. And he spent something like 30 years trying to verify these things. If it was really true, could they really contact dead spirits and these kinds of things? And he came to the conclusion that it was all a hoax, that all this spiritualism was a fake. Now, I suppose in one sense he's right, but yet God does tell us there's a spiritual realm, and it's something that is certainly true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's correct, yes. A lot of it is fake. It's put on. It's a show playing on people's gullibility. But the spirit world is very, very real, too. What we find in the Bible, just a brief outline, is that God did create a spiritual realm, a spiritual world, dimension, however you want to phrase it. And there's actually a very interesting insight into that back in Isaiah, the 14th chapter. A few verses here that describe the origin of the bad side of the spirit world. Isaiah 14 and verses 12 through 14. And to read it here, it says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning! How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations! For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God," stars being a biblical term, symbol of angels. "I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north." And then the key verse here, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High." So what this is describing is one of these angelic beings here called Lucifer, who determines that he is going to elevate himself above God. And in doing so, he rebels against God, his creator, and starts an angelic rebellion and becomes the enemy of God and of humanity.
So we have the beginning of this evil demonic side, this angelic realm, and yet we have these two opposing sides, I suppose. You've got the spirit realm, angels that submitted to God's will, I suppose we could say good angels, and yet you have these fallen angels called demons.
Mm-hmm. Right. We find very important to understand that God did not create evil. He did not create the dark side. He created the angelic realm. All was good to start with. We find the story, as Scott mentions, of the being we call Lucifer, who was created very beautiful. And apparently pride went to his head. He tried to overtake the throne of God. He rebelled against God is what it comes down to. And he fell, and he drew angels with him. He became known as Satan, and those angels became known as demons. And we find that is the origins of the spirit realm, of the evil realm.
And that spiritual battle is still raging. Stay tuned, and we'll discuss that when we come back.
In a world of pain, conflict, and destruction, how can you explain so much evil? After all, is there really a devil? You need to understand the unseen source of human suffering. Make sense of our world by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? In our age of spectacular discoveries in science, the miracle of life reveals astonishing truth you can read about regularly in the Good News magazine. As more mysteries of life are solved, put yourself in the positive big picture presented regularly in your free subscription to The Good News. Just call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for The Good News Magazine.
Have you got your copy of The Good News Magazine? We hope you'll go online. Go on to beyondtoday.tv. Order your Good News Magazine. Here's a magazine that will not only help you with our topic today, is there really a spirit world, but a magazine of understanding. A magazine that will help you to understand your world, help you raise your kids, help you understand world news. It will put it into a biblical perspective in a way that will really help you live your life to the fullest. So order your free Good News Magazine today. It will help you. You know, as we talk about the spirit world, there is no doubt God tells us there is a spiritual world. In fact, there's a spiritual battle that's going on, and it's a battle for our minds. You've had to have noticed that there's a struggle, even in your own mind. Good and bad attitudes and thoughts, they fight each other for dominance. They can shape our very behavior. It seems that that pervades our society all around us. And we can look to all the examples of government, in war, in the difficulties that our world faces, that we live in difficult times and we can be affected by the spirit world around us. Now, as we think about that, is that really a fair way to think about these things? Is there really a spiritual battle that's taking place, or am I overstating that?
Well, there is a spiritual battle going on very much, and especially we see in 1 Timothy that Paul wrote that in the latter times many would give up the faith and give heed to or begin listening to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And we find that to be one of the things that Satan loves to do, that one of his great purposes is to cause deception and false teaching. We find that in various religions, and we also find that even among Christianity. Christ said that false teachers would come in his name. And we certainly see that spiritual struggle going on. Another place we find that, Paul mentions in Ephesians 6, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. Now, usually we think of a wrestling match or a war or a struggle between armies or two individuals, and we can see the enemy. But this is an enemy we can't see. It's a spiritual enemy. And the battle takes place every day in our own minds. And it's a real struggle because Satan and the demonic realm, they're trying to pull us and influence us toward evil. And God wants us to choose a different path.
Now, Gary's been talking about the spiritual battle that's going on. Demons are no doubt real. Satan is real. Now, is there a plan that they have? Do they have tactics for dealing with people?
Well, they do. The most, the primary and most successful tactic that Satan has used is simply the matter of deception. Revelation 12:9 tells us something that's pretty mind-boggling about Satan and his cohorts, the demons. It says that Satan deceives the whole world. It's truly, truly remarkable if you think about that.
Not just a little.
Yeah, not just a little. He's deceived the whole world. Doesn't mean he's just deceived the Buddhists. Doesn't mean he's just deceived the Hindus, the Muslims, whomever. But he's deceived the whole world. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty frightening thought there.
Even those outside of religion.
Even those outside of religion. Yeah, yes, true. And one of Satan's greatest deceptions, of course, is to convince people that he doesn't even exist. Mm-hmm. Talk about an ultimate deception there.
Right.
So that's just one of many of the ways that Satan deceives people. We find a really remarkable passage over in 2 Corinthians 11 and verses 14 and 15 that sheds a lot of light on the magnitude of Satan's deception here. And it says here, 2 Corinthians 11 and beginning in verse 14, Paul writes here, and he says, Satan himself transforms himself into an angel, or a messenger is what the Greek word means here. Satan transforms himself into a messenger of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, the word here simply means servants, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. So this tells us that Satan doesn't present himself as an evil, malicious, malign being. He actually comes across as presenting his ways as good and enticing and enlightening and so on. He's able to deceive people that way. And
we're not just necessarily talking about ministers in a church somewhere, but Satan
right.
can use people
yes.
for his service. Deceive them into his means and doing his bidding in that sense.
That's true, and they don't even know that they're deceived. That's part of the great deception. They think they're doing right, think they're doing good. A lot of them are well-intentioned, but they're just simply deceived and unknowingly continue to spread part of Satan's deception, even within Christianity as we know it.
Now you can begin to think about the evil things, and boy, we don't want much to do with those things, if in any way possible. Mm-hmm. And so if it comes to the fact of relating with the spirit world, well, we have to be careful when it comes to that. How do we relate in that sense?
Well, we have to be very careful because, as we've seen, there are two sides. There is the evil and there is the good. Scripture says we are not to try to relate in any way with the evil, but it also says, on the other hand, we are to try to relate to the good. God wants to have a relationship with us as human beings. He wants that relationship. We find in the Scripture it says, "Draw near to me and resist the devil; he will flee from you." Mm. And we don't have to be afraid in the sense of walking around in fear. Of the spirit world, because God is more powerful than them. But what the Scripture tells us to do is to draw near to God and resist Satan. Now, the way we draw near to God is through prayer. God has instituted a means by which we can communicate with Him through prayer, show Him our needs, and we can also receive input from God by reading His Word and by studying the Bible. So prayer and Bible study, but even more than that, putting to practice what we learn. That's a very important part of our relationship with God, is putting to practice what we find to be the truth of the Scripture.
Mm-hmm. So we worship God. We don't worship the angels, not even the angelic, right? We worship God. God wants a relationship with us. And He has a special plan for us so that we can continue that relationship, doesn't He?
True. He actually wants us to have an eternal relationship with Him as part of the spirit world that He inhabits. That's His ultimate goal and plan and design for human beings, is for us to be a part of that spirit world within Him. Physical flesh and blood is going to die. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. So God actually wants to have an eternal relationship with us in His own part of that spirit world.
And that's such an important thing for all of us to realize. There is a spirit world. It is real. We need to stay away from the evil side. We need to stay away from the influence of Satan, and we need to turn to God. God has an awesome plan, a plan that will last for eternity, and He wants all of us to be a part of it. We need to make the right choices and begin to have a relationship with God. We hope you'll begin to do that today. Stay tuned, and we'll wrap things up in just a moment.
In a world of pain, conflict, and destruction, how can you explain so much evil? After all, is there really a devil? You need to understand the unseen source of human suffering. Make sense of our world by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil?
Even though we can't see it, the spirit world is real. Wicca, goth practices, music, movies, books, and magazines, they make these practices seem all the more appealing. Let's not be deceived to think it's just entertainment. We are in a spiritual battle. Don't join those practices. If you've been involved, you can get out of it. Remove yourself from it with the help of Almighty God. Let's turn away from evil influence to the truth of your Bible. Thank you, Scott and Gary, for being guests today.
Thank you.
When you want to understand your future, we hope you'll remember this program and look beyond today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.